Little superstition there. Actually, a lot of superstition. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for riding through the break with us. Those who are just joining us, this is your host, Ray I, here at KFNS 590 The Fan, Midwest Outdoors Studios. Talking about superstition down on our Ozark giant tree with no wind, beautiful sun shining, crashed down on a tree stand we were trying to retrieve. And then we saw some weird and looked like eyes and bushes from photographs we took from the deer blind. Didn't see them until we got back and looked at the pictures. So a little bit of superstition there. We're probably going to end up doing a story time about this. Speaking of story time, this week, we're bringing back Old Joe. So our story time this week is Old Joe about hunting white-tailed deer in the Missouri Ozarks from years ago when I was a small boy. So with that, let's just go right into story time. If you haven't heard this story, I know you're really going to enjoy it. Here we go.
Okay, boys and girls, it's time for story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is Old Joe. It's late November, a cold winter pre-dawn morning, as an old Willys Jeep rattles across the pasture of an old Ozark's home place. Bouncing light beams from flickering headlights reflect from a heavy blanket of frost, the Jeep leaving only rutted tire tracks in the frost and brown grass to tell of our passing. Once across the pasture, the Jeep slows its approach at the creek ford, hidden by heavy fog hugging the deep valley. The smell of oil and steam spew into the morning air from hot exhaust as the Jeep groans and churns into the deep, clear Ozark stream of the low water crossing. Once through the stream, the Jeep turns right at the fork, onto an old two-track road generations of my family have traveled, a road that no one knows is how old. Now within the timbered valley, we follow a twisting, turning, narrow, rutted road that eventually leads to government ground on the top of the mountain. Bouncing back and forth across ancient ruts left behind by horse-pulled wagons, the headlights reflect skyward through the treetops from the sheets of ice on the roughest stretch of our journey. At the next turn, with a quick downshift and a punch of the accelerator, the old 46 Willys lurches forward. The lockout hubs do their job as it bounces and churns, breaking through the ice that hide the deep rutted mud holes. The veteran deer hunter driving that Jeep on that cold morning way back in 1965 is my dad's youngest brother Lee, the black sheep of the family, and my favorite uncle. I've heard many say Uncle Lee could make a party of a funeral and is legendary for his wild practical jokes. Well, Uncle Lee finally arrives at the farmhouse to pick me up about an hour before daylight. You see, he never came home last night, and with a straight face, he tells me how most of the night he was at the old feed store playing cards and drinking root beer, and all about his trip to the public library to expand his vocabulary. The honky-tonk odors inside the Jeep, stale beer, cigarette smoke, and cheap perfume all tell a very different story. Uncle Lee's favorite hunting buddy, Old Joe, is supposed to be deer hunting with us today, but is nowhere to be seen. But Uncle Lee says that Old Joe will meet up with us later up on the mountain. Now, Old Joe, now there's definitely one of those interesting Ozark characters. He too has an old Jeep, but when not hunting, he drives a rusted out 49 Chevy pickup truck with a spiderweb windshield, broken more than 4 years ago from rocks falling off a tiff truck. You know, Old Joe never laces his boots. His pant zipper is always at half mast, and I've never seen his shirt tucked in. He wears a John Deere baseball cap, always on backwards, long before it was in style as today. We continue on our early morning journey. The old road is steep, with numerous turns as we traverse rocky glades toward our final destination. This morning we're going to deer hunt in one of my uncle's favorite places, the saddle of a low ridge that separates two steep mountains, an area called the Icebox, an open area on a main ridge marked with the remains of an old-time icebox someone dumped years earlier. The Jeep continues its climb toward the summit and the parking place at the Icebox. But after cresting the ridge, Uncle Lee drives right past the icebox. I ask, why didn't we stop and park? Boy, you're old enough now to learn a few of life's lessons. When Old Joe gets here this morning, you just watch, listen, and learn. Climbing from the Jeep, he continues,
This morning, I'll show you what happens when someone messes with someone. If you can dish it out, boy, you better be able to take it. Quietly walking down the road toward the icebox, he says, "Now be real quiet. Just follow me and do what I say." We make our way to just across from the parking place. He then turns and tells me to stay right there while pointing to the base of a big tree. It's cold, very cold, with just a hint of light in the eastern sky. Moonlight filters through the timber as the full moon is just starting to slip below the horizon when I hear another Jeep coming up the old mountain road. It is so quiet on this early morning wintertime ridge, the only sounds is the groaning of the four-wheel drive churning its way up the mountain. Laying low against the base of the huge oak, I can now see beams of light bouncing up and down through the trees as the old Jeep pulls in and parks. With the motor now silent and the dim headlights dark, once again all is quiet, with the exception of the ever-slowing ticking sounds from a cooling engine. Uncle Lee gives me the signal with his finger to his lips, shh, telling me to be very quiet. The Jeep door slowly opens and a shadowy figure steps out into the dark world. I can see a soft red glow as he lights up a cigarette, and I clearly hear old Joe pour a cup of coffee from the thermos into a cup setting on the hood of the Jeep. The only light for miles is the bright glow from a long, relaxed puffs from the cigarette, and a real target for Uncle Lee as he quietly and slowly is stalking, not unlike a mountain lion closing in for the kill. Quietly listening to the sounds of the prey sipping coffee, I'm thinking, this poor man has no idea there's anyone or anything within miles of here. This is going to be good. After a long pull on a cigarette, the shadowy figure turns away and prepares for an early morning nature call. Just as Uncle Lee closes the distance, he strikes quickly, pushing forward with great force, without mercy, growling loudly. He tackles from behind, and then locking his arms around his victim. The attacker is violently lifting and shaking Joe off the ground while growling like a mad animal. As a 13-year-old boy, I believe I'm witnessing death for the first time. The sounds of a grown man screaming like a schoolgirl, echoing across the mountains and hollers, will haunt me forever. The smell of spilled coffee and urine fill the morning air as a wilted body of what once was a man collapses to the ground into a quivering, sobbing, fetal position. Laughing hysterically like a man gone mad, my uncle standing over his victim, striking a cigarette lighter to admire his work, he screams, "So how did you like that? That ought to teach you." Suddenly, his words abruptly stop. Standing straight up, he turns, quickly running past me toward the Jeep, yelling as he goes, "Run, boy, run! That ain't Joe. Wrong guy. Wrong guy." And that's this week's story time, boys and girls, from your Uncle Ray.
Say bye, Vogelbacher.
Bye, Vogelbacher.
Say goodbye, Matty G.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.